There are many men and women in the rodeo business that never get the recognition they deserve. So here's to those hidden heroes.
It is time for Rodeo Rock Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Benny Paulson, saddled up, ready to ride. You're wondering what this new song is? Well, Mr. Gus Kronberg is not in the house. He's out chasing dreams, doing cool things. So I thought I'd put a new intro song on, and it's a brand new song from Breaking Eight, my favorite band, just released last week in April 2021. The song's called Hidden Heroes, featuring Flint Rasmussen and Terry Richardson. It's a bit of a tribute to bullfighters, and as you can tell, a lot of the hidden heroes in the rodeo industry and all events. It's a good song. Please check it out. We'll be talking more about that later. And, man, got a big show today. I'm so excited about it. Today, I got an interview for you guys featuring a couple marginally hidden heroes and one definitely not so hidden hero that's not supposed to be hidden at all and does a good job being a hero. All these gals are heroes, and it's an honor to have them on. It's coming to you from the Shootin' the Bull Show talk show that I did in Valley City at the North Dakota Winter Show back in March. During the trade show, we did a talk show. And I'm going to play back the interview with the guests are Amanda Radke. And, well, if you don't know Amanda, we'll talk in the interview. We talk, you'll get to know them really well. But Amanda's from South Dakota. She's a major advocate for the beef industry, for agriculture. A blogger, a rancher, and so much more. She's just amazing. You'll get her story in there. And to make that even better, if you're wondering to yourself, how can that be any better? She is joined on our show by Miss Jordan Tierney, Miss Rodeo America, also from South Dakota. And, of course, she is just a wonderful speaker, a wealth of knowledge, also a great advocate for agriculture, beef industry, rodeo, which we talk a lot about. But we also talk about things like social media. How can we utilize social media to tell our story? You know, so much of that. There's just so many good things that we got to touch on. And then at the end of this interview, Brianna Hossman, who is a North Dakota State FFA president, joins us. And we get to know her, talks a lot about what she's doing, and kind of helps us out with some of that social media, some of the younger person stuff. So it was just a really amazing interview, and you're gonna love it. Again, that's live from the Shootin' the Bull talk show in Valley City, North Dakota at the Winter Show. Before that, gotta run down some sponsors, of course. The North Dakota Winter Show, gotta check that out in March of 2022 in Valley City. Always a great show. Ranchers Risk Protection, my friend Will Meyer can hook you up with rainfall insurance, insure your cattle, feedlot cattle, calves, can help take a lot of the risk out of this volatile business. Appreciate that. Dickinson State University rodeo team. If you are a college or high school student looking for a rodeo team to join, Dickinson State University is great. Sending 6 student athletes to the National College Finals coming up this year. Way to go, Blue Hawks. Project Canine Hero, my buddy Jason Johnson, saving dogs and honoring those that served us, retired working military and police dogs. North Dakota Country Fest in New Salem, July 8th through the 10th. Yours truly, Breaking 8, will be there July 9th. Can't wait for that. New Salem, North Dakota. North Dakota Country Fest, a great lineup of musicians. Of course, special cowboy moments and wild rides. TV programs on the Cowboy Channel and RFD TV. You can see all kinds of cool stuff. Interviews, cowboy rodeo stories, and of course, more Breaking 8 music. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I need to get you to these interviews because they're pretty long. There's a lot going on there, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for joining us on Rodeo Rock Radio. Here we go with Amanda Radke and Jordan Tierney. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us here. Thank you for joining us on the Cowboy Channel. This is the Shootin' Bull Show. We are live in Valley City, North Dakota at the North Dakota Winter Show, and it's a great day. Today we have 2 of the most influential, most powerful women, some of the best guests you'll ever get to listen to in the world, from the Dakotas, from South Dakota. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Amanda Radke first on the far left over here. And welcome, Amanda.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So glad to have you here. And of course, Her Highness, Miss Rodeo America, Miss Jordan Tierney. Hello.
Hello. thank you so much for having me. And that was quite the introduction. I'm very flattered.
It's kind of buttering us up, I think.
I know, right?
Speak the truth. I speak only the truth. And it is an honor for me. My name is Benny Paulson. And such an honor to be here with you two wonderful ladies. Inspirational. And just, I'm so excited to get into this conversation. I don't know where to start. Is the hard part.
We have so much to talk about.
So much to talk about. What do you think, Jordan? Where should we start?
Well, let's just start with, you know, beef. I think that's why we're all here, about the industry.
So let's get a little introduction to Amanda.
Absolutely.
Then. Get right into the beef industry. She became, I got to know Miss Radke when she called out Ellen DeGeneres, and we were so proud for being not knowledgeable in the beef industry. Since then and before then, have been advocating and educating the world on what we do as ranchers and how we do it good. Give us a little more background.
Sure. Well, if folks don't remember the Ellen story, I guess, she had created an Instagram video challenging her fans to that it would be neat if they ate less meat. And her three reasons were it was better for the planet, better for people, and better for the animals. And so I countered with, hey, Ellen, I would love to come on your show and tell you why I eat beef. And it's for the exact same reasons that you said you don't. And so it kind of went viral. And no, I didn't get to be on her show, but I had a great opportunity to talk to a lot of media and a lot of consumers about some of the big misconceptions facing the beef industry today.
And there is a lot of them. We are under attack as an industry, and fortunately we have people like you guys that are fighting for us. What have you been doing since then?
Well, just kind of keeping busy trying to tell the story. So I'm really passionate about promoting egg literacy in schools. And so I'm a children's book author and have four books out that tell the accurate story about where their food comes from. And so I'm trying to get into as many classrooms as I can. Of course, this pandemic has made it more challenging, so we've had to look at ways to be more creative. But it is my goal to raise and help encourage the next generation of consumers to be empowered and enlightened about where their food comes from, who we are in agriculture, so that they don't feel guilty and fearful and, you know, scared or concerned about their foods, that they feel confident about the foods that they're selecting at the grocery store when they grow up.
And not only are you talking about this, you're living it as well. Maybe we should preface with a little more background of what you do at your home as well.
Sure. So we raise Limousine cattle on our ranch in Mitchell, South Dakota. We're raising the sixth generation there. And write for Beef Magazine, so people can find my blog at beefmagazine.com. And then I have a personal website where I sell my books at amandaradke.com.
Fantastic. So you guys did a show together at the Black Hills Stock Show. And how did that go?
Oh, it went great. So I remember Amy Sutton, you know, she approached me about doing a talk show, and she was like, you know, you can line up some of your guests. And I was like, I would love to have Amanda Radke on my show. She's like, well, you know, the worst she can do is say no. So just reach out. And I was like, all right. So I just sent her an Instagram DM, and she got back to me, you know, right away. And originally you thought you weren't going to be able to come out. And then a couple of days before I had you on, you text me and you're like, I had FOMO, so I'm coming. and we got her on my show, and it was just, I have admired her like you since the Ellen post that she did. And I remember preparing for the Miss Rodeo America pageant, and you know, my goal was that if I got asked about beef or anything around that industry, I was going to be knowledgeable and I was going to pull facts out. And I read everything she wrote. I paid attention to her social media. I listened to podcasts she did. Just a wealth of knowledge, like you said. And so I've just admired her, you know, for a while now. And so to get to have her and get to talk to her at Rapid City was really a very special treat for me.
So just a simple rancher having this influence on Miss Rodeo America.
I'm blushing.
I'm so impressed right now. But that's the power of not being afraid to stand up for what you know and what you believe in. And that's why people are connecting and so proud of you and reaching out to you.
I think that's really what's crucial and what's maybe missing in agriculture is we're so busy ranching and feeding our cattle and raising our kids and trying to just mind our own business and do what's right and raise our families and enjoy the country life that we forget that there's a whole big world out there that is judging and making opinions about what we do and why we do. And guess what? They're voting at the grocery store with what they purchase, and they're voting at the booth about how we can run our businesses in the future. And so we don't need just small pockets of people being willing to stick their necks out and share their stories. We need everybody out there making that, you know, concentrated effort to share a little bit, you know, routinely. And so that's why it's so inspiring to connect with people like you guys that are out in front of the public, that are sharing your stories, that are being advocates. We just need a lot more of it.
We absolutely do, because conversely, there is legislation. There's people informing people in the cities the wrong way. There's animal rights groups. There's competing businesses that are misinforming. Mm-hmm. So we have to do this.
Yes. Well, just recently, you guys probably saw on the news, Bill Gates, who's a major investor in fake meats and also the United States' largest landowner now, was just in the media saying rich nations should convert to eating 100% synthetic meat. And he's basically saying, you know, beef is outdated and I have the solution here. And since this pandemic started, I've seen an uptick of articles like that, you know, blaming the virus on animal agriculture and, you know, the meat industry and saying it's about time that beef becomes extinct and here's why. And so it's coming at us in an avalanche. I mean, and we've got to stand firm in what we do and the products that we create, not just nutrient dense beef, but life enriching byproducts. And we've got to remind folks what we do and why it's so important.
So what's your answer? What do you say to somebody that is under the impression that cattle are bad?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that people say cattle are bad, so maybe pick one. But I would just say, you know, in a looking at it from a large picture, that beef cattle, when we're able to graze the land that has inedible cellulosic material that can't be consumed or used for farming or modernizing, we can have beef cattle graze that grass, convert it into nutrient-dense beef, and they can be a part of this important cycle of producing a real, true nutrient-dense product that's packed with protein and 10 essential nutrients, doesn't come from a laboratory. It is a natural product that, hey, it tastes darn good, too.
I'm going to disagree with you on one little point there.
Okay.
You say we can graze the land and it's all going to be good. I think we have to take that one step further because we are under the gun. We're under a microscope right now. We are being looked at as bad. So not only, I think we need to manage. We need to throw in the word manage. I think producers, as producers, our industry, I believe, needs to step up and get better. We're under the gun right now, and we need to be better and prove that we're better.
I don't argue with that at all. In fact, I think we're seeing an increased interest in cover crops and, you know, utilizing these crop residues and all the different things that we can do, whether it's rotational grazing or putting in new water systems so that you can move your cattle throughout your large pastures more. All of these things are great stories that we can highlight and show consumers how we are responsibly managing the land. And when done right, ruminant animals belong on the land and not off the land.
They were created to manage the land. We just have to, we have to get out of their way is what I like to say. We have to get out of their way and let them do it, but we also can't force them to do it wrong.
Well, and one more thing I would add is I think there's a great misconception out there that if we just put most of the land in a refuge. So there's a 30 by 30 plan right now that wants to put 30% of the land, you know, set aside for conservation efforts. And there's this misconception that if we just don't touch the grass and we don't touch the forest, that'll be better off. But we need human interaction to responsibly manage. And so when we remove the dead brush, we're reducing the spread of wildfires. And same with the timber. When we're removing the dead timber, we're, you know, promoting new growth in that forest land. And so, yes, talking about responsible land management is key. But absolutely, I think ruminant animals belong in that responsible land management plan.
It was not made to sit idle. It was made to be used. And it sequesters more carbon when it's being managed properly.
Absolutely. She's a wealth of knowledge, isn't she?
She is.
I just could listen to her all day. Yes. I love it.
We're gonna have to try not to go to just jabber for too long here. There's gonna be
No, this is incredible information, you know. You make a great point, though. As ranchers, though, we have to start taking personal responsibility. And social media is a great way to do that. And even in the, like, rodeo sphere, you know, I see that it's not necessarily talking about the about beef, but it's about our lifestyle. And it's about, we have to say, hey, you know, like, we do take care of these stock that come to our rodeo, and we do have good practices, and we are here to care for these animals, you know. And it's all connected, because I say, if we don't have beef, if we don't have ranching, we don't have rodeo. Mm-hmm. And so at the fore, you know, at the base of it all, it's agriculture, and how do we all work together to move it forward and keep it thriving?
Indeed. Brought up something we talked about yesterday, Mr. Don Schmidt, who inspired Miss Tierney here with something that is similar here. When he said that we don't have to prove it to each other. We don't have to prove it to other ranchers. We need to
prove it to the other people. You know, he said, you don't have to make me love the sport of rodeo. I already love the sport of rodeo. You have to make the other people fall in love with our sport of rodeo. And so I think that goes to, yes, beef and ranching and all that.
And that is the hardest part. How do we prove to the world that doesn't want to listen to us and doesn't want to listen to an industry that doesn't want to tell their story to begin with? How can we do this, Amanda?
Well, the challenge becomes as we speak our language, like what relates to our buddies. Instead, we need to look at what is the value system of the consumer person I'm talking to. And one thing I've found is that every consumer has a shared set of values that we also have. You know, when we're going to the grocery store, we care about animal welfare, the environment, taste, nutrition, budget, and food safety. And whether it's rodeo or raising cattle or something else entirely different in agriculture, it all comes back to the grocery store. And so if we can relate it back to how it impacts the consumer, I think then we work our way backwards and start from there. But every mom wants to feel good about what she's putting in the grocery cart. And if we can get them to feel good about that, we can bring them back home to the ranch and tell that story too.
So we need to cater to the consumer, and we can do that while still being profitable as an industry. It just takes a little more management, correct?
Yeah, and I think just, you know, we wear a lot of hats in agriculture. We have a lot of jobs. It's a stressful, high-risk industry, but one more hat we have to wear is being storytellers and appealing to folks, because the sad reality is our opposition, the activists, they are fantastic storytellers. They can appeal to people's emotions, and they prey on people's reactions to that, and that's how they line their pocketbooks to sponsor these ballot initiatives to put us out of business. And so it's a scary cycle, and we've got to become better storytellers so that we can appeal to the hearts and minds of our consumers as well.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us now, or if you just tuned in, we are talking to Amanda Radke and Miss Jordan Tierney, Miss Rodeo America. We're talking about beef. We're talking about saving the world through cattle and saving our industry.
Absolutely.
All good. So that being said, we were talking yesterday about some former Miss Rodeo Americas that are finding ways to help out. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so we were talking about how, you know, there's a lot of legislative that can be passed that can really affect our industry. And, you know, he was like, well, what do we got to do? And I was like, and I just wanted to inform him that we do have two past Miss Rodeo Americas. Catherine Merck, 2016, she went to law school after she was Miss Rodeo America, used her scholarship, and now she is working in Cheyenne, Wyoming at a law firm there that particularly deals in ranching law. She calls it cowboy law. She said that's the best way to describe it. And then Taylor McNair, my predecessor, she is currently in law school and has the hope to go to Washington, D.C. and be a lobbyist for ranchers and farmers across the United States. So, you know, there's a lot of girls that come through my program personally that want to get involved and be part of that front end of the fight. And, you know, that's really where I I feel myself called when this, you know, when this reign comes to an end. And I was actually just talking to Amanda back there before we came up and just picking your brain about kind of, you know, the path that she took and how it looked and, you know, ways that as a young woman that I can get involved when I'm done and use the skill set that I have from this title and my ranching background and everything and kind of be part of that. Not going to law school, but just how can I be part of it?
One of the most common misconceptions in rodeo is that rodeo queens are just the pretty face right around carrying the flags. Couldn't be further from the truth, as we just heard about that, and carry a lot of power and a lot of weight when said right, that's for sure.
But I also have to commend you for looking fantastic on that horse with that American flag representing a sport that stands for the national anthem and respects our country, and I think that in itself brings a lot of pride to our industry, and that you are an incredible advocate, and you're very public facing. And so I always tell people, whether they're at a cattle show or a rodeo event, they are maybe the one rancher or farmer that someone might meet. And so when you can be like the best face of ag possible, like you are when you're out and about, I mean, that's the best thing that people can be, is just leave a good impression wherever you go. And then they'll say, hey, that cowgirl was pretty awesome, you know, and then I feel pretty good about buying that steak the next time I go to the grocery store.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, I got to, you know, say something that I heard at the beginning of my year in 2020 is to dress like we are. So when you travel, dress like a cowboy, because that is an attention, or that's a conversation starter. And when I fly or when I travel, I have to be in full crown and sash and everything. So you know, you won't believe the amount of people in an airport that will be like, oh, you know, like what is this? And it's a conversation starter. And, you know, you say, I represent rodeo and the Western way of life. And, you know, I'm a cowgirl and I grew up on a ranch, and you get to tell them that side. And so, you know, you might be going down to the coffee shop to get a coffee, but if you're wearing your cowboy hat, that might be a conversation starter. And be willing to have those conversations with people and talk to them. And like Amanda said, show your heart, because that's what's going to, you know, relate to them. And that's where you start.
Had similar experiences in airports. In fact, I met a guy from New York City, and I was reading a book in the airport, minding my own business, and he came and sat down next to me and saw my cowboy boots, and he said, are you a cowgirl? And I was, well, yeah, I am. And, well, cool, I've never met a cowgirl before. And so, well, what do you do for a living? And he said, well, I work on Wall Street. And I said, well, I've never met a guy who worked on Wall Street before. And said, well, what do you want to learn about me? And I asked, well, are you all as crooked as you sound in the news? And he said, yes, actually, so we've been warned. But I said, well, what do you want to learn about cowgirls? And we had this great back and forth. And then a week later, what hit the news was with lean, finely textured beef and the pink slime thing. And he emailed me. We exchanged business cards. And he emailed me, and I got the chance to talk to this guy in New York City about this terrible report about, you know, pink slime in the news. And I like to, you know, picture that he went to happy hour with his friends and was like, no, those articles are wrong. I talked to my rancher friend in South Dakota. So it all starts with just individual interactions and making that connection and, you know, finding something you have in common and developing that relationship. And I will say, fast forward to last year, he emailed me again with this pandemic and wanted to know about food safety and meat, you know, being a contaminant or not. And so we got to talk a little bit about, you know, grilling and cooking beef and that kind of thing. So you just never know.
You might think it's only one person, but that one person will tell another person, and that person will tell another person. And
what do they call that? The butterfly effect? Right?
Exponential growth?
Yeah.
Is it butterfly? I'm not even
sure.
Yeah,
when the flap of a butterfly across the world create a tsunami, you know?
That's right.
There you go, girl.
Never mind, sorry. No one knew the reference.
Always telling the story, and it will grow. Mm-hmm. It's a big challenge, but if we don't do it, mm-hmm. it ain't going to get done. Let's go back to the legislative issues that we were talking about. Are you dealing with anything legislatively? There's the Green New Deal. There's constantly legislation against animal agriculture, against rodeo events?
Yeah, there was one up, I remember, last year. It was last winter in 2020. It was about, you know, it pertained to pets, but the way it was worded, it definitely could have hindered people from, like, owning and competing on horses. And so that would have incredibly affected the rodeo industry. And I believe they got it stopped. But, like, just things like that, you have to read the wording in it, because,
they're,
you know,
sneaky
it can
like that.
It can be interpreted and then applied to rodeo in a sense, you know, of a larger animal, even though they might just be talking about dogs and pets, you know, or dogs and cats, it could also pertain to your horses and cows.
Yeah, I agree. It's not just the Bill Gates of the world saying, you know, we don't want people eating meat anymore. They don't want us owning livestock, period. They don't want us using horses for sporting events or entertainment. They don't want you having, you know, cattle. They don't want you, you know, having horse carriage businesses in Chicago or New York City. So little by little, they cripple these industries, whether it's fur or wool or whatever it might be. And you think, well, it's not my industry, so I'm not worried about it. What do I care about circuses? Well, if there's legislation that passes on circuses, it sets a precedent and it trickles back to livestock producers one way or another. And so if you're involved in animal ownership in any shape or form, we really have to find ways to collaborate and watch out for each other, because these bills do sneak up and people usually support them because they say, oh, my gut reaction is, yeah, I love animals. This says it's going to help animal welfare. Of course, I'm going to vote. And then they don't realize the unintended long-term consequences of what that vote really means.
Absolutely. Now, you write for some publications, correct? Where can we see some of your work?
Sure. I've written for Beef Magazine since 2008, and I try to cover some of these, you know, big issues that are coming down the pike. So there's the PAWS Act that's in Colorado right now that would, it claims that it would extend beef cattle's lives through, you know, changing husbandry practices. So take that for what it is, I guess.
Is that the one that's banning some husband, or that's going to make it illegal to do some of these practices, like artificial insemination?
I'm not sure on the logistics of the full language on that, but the overreaching bill is to change, you know, what we can do in order to, I mean, essentially, it's the long game is take an inch now and take a mile later. That 30 by 30, I'm really concerned about. It essentially looks like a land grab to me, and a lot of, you know, if you're looking at putting 30% of the land in, you know, a conservation program, well, a lot of that is going to be private ground. So what does that look like for producers? And yeah, there seems to be a new one every day that we have to keep an eye on.
This isn't legislative, but the governor of Colorado, yes. I think it's been really, really encouraging to see the reaction that other governors have had, you know, to that in other states, and people being very vocal about that. What was it, meatless?
Meat out day in
meat
Colorado.
Meat out day, that's what it is, yes. So it's not technically, you know, but I think it was encouraging to see people speak out on that issue and use social media. I saw a ton of stuff. I don't know about you, yeah. But, you know, I think the governor of Nebraska declared a day, you know, eat meat. So it was cool to see that.
Yeah, it's interesting because Governor Polis in Colorado said, oh, we're going to not eat meat on the 20th. And I almost want to send him a thank you letter because I think it's going to be like the biggest beef eating day in the, you know, in the whole year. And so I've been challenging people, even if you have a freezer full of beef at home, go to your grocery store on March 20th. Fill that groceries cart up with beef. And I used my website to raise some money. I'm going to buy a shopping cart full of beef to donate to the local food pantry. I just want to show an uptick in beef demand that day. And then I'm challenging people to go on social media with, you know, while you're grilling or eating a big steak or a cheeseburger and share about it. And so, like you said, Nebraska's celebrating Meat on the Menu Day. I see Polis is backtracking now, and on the 22nd, I think, it's going to be like Colorado Livestock Appreciation Day or something. But he obviously heard his constituents and said, hey, the cattle industry is the second largest industry in Colorado. Yeah. What are you doing?
Is it possible that the governor of Colorado has been misinformed about one of the biggest industries in his state? Is that what happened here?
Is it the second biggest one, oil? And he also is, or the first biggest in Colorado?
Is it oil?
I thought it was like oil, agriculture, and then it's like outdoorsy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's all
hiking.
Yeah. And yeah, he's saying, no, skip it. Yeah, I would say he's maybe got some conflicting information. We could help him out. And so that's where we can use tools that already exist, like Beef It's What's for Dinner, and you go grab some facts about beef nutrition or beef in the environment, and you just copy and share it on your social media page with a picture of your cattle or, you know, a burger that you're enjoying, and it just starts the conversation. Because if we don't counter this stuff, the only thing people are seeing is the negative. And the benefit we have is we can make it positive. Like, we're grilling, we're having a great time, this beef tastes great. What that was a negative. And so, yeah, I want to Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just have a question for you because you would maybe know more about this than I do. So like on those days, for people, when you do post on social media, use their hashtags, correct? So if they have a certain hashtag, because that's what they're going to be looking at. So if you use their hashtags on your post, it will bring them to your post about, you know, the positive of meat. So if you do post something like that, you know, whatever their hashtags might be, meat out day or whatever, mm-hmm. hashtag that. And then when they click on it, your post will come up.
And this might be a good segue to warning people about how to stay safe and feel good when the trolls come your way. Because you use their hashtag, they are definitely going to attack you because you're countering their message and they don't want you to speak out. They want to silence you. So is there anything you've found that has helped you to stay strong in the face of opposition?
Yeah, you know, number one is that... Honestly, the people that follow the Miss Rodeo America socials are very encouraging, nice people. But if you do find a negative comment or you get a negative DM or whatever, call your mom, call your best friend, call your sister, call someone that's going to encourage you and remind you why you're doing it. You know, because that one negative comment, and it comes from someone you don't even know, you know, and you're just like, oh, that really, the one negative one gets under your skin, I think, 10 times worse than 100 positive, but call someone to reinforce why you're doing it, give you that encouragement, and it might just be a 5-minute phone call, and you say, okay, thank you so much, needed that. You know, that's personally for me. But what about, I know you said don't ever be afraid to block anyone.
Yeah, I used to think, oh, you have to be so tough, and you have to just... Yeah, take all these bullies attacking you. But I found that I needed to set healthy boundaries because some of these activist groups that are known for using drones to spy on ranchers, or they're notorious for breaking into feedlots and taking pictures, and some of those made me feel pretty unsafe. And so I did have an activist group that was posting things on my family pictures on social media, and that made me feel not secure in what I was doing. And so, yeah, he earned a block, and every single coworker or friend that he brought along with him got a block, just so I felt like safe. But in general, if someone's just negative and they're being respectful and not threatening my family or myself, I don't feed the trolls. I ignore them, and I focus on the 95% of folks that just genuinely want to learn more. And I always default, and I always tell people this, to default to being kind and factual. I never want to get in the mud and wrestle with the pigs. I'm going to be who I am and represent the industry in the best way I know how by being a friendly face that has information to share. And if you want to be negative and attack a total stranger, that reflects more on you than what my message is.
No matter what, when you're in the spotlight, when you're doing things that really matter, when you're being successful, there's always going to be criticism. And that's another reason I'm so inspired by you guys, because that happens. And as the stories are going, and you got to get through it. Mm-hmm. And in a little bit, we're going to bring up one of our new generation people that is going to be advocating in the future, the president of the FFA, North Dakota FFA, and we'll get to talk to her a little bit and give her some good advice and ask some questions too. And if anybody has any questions for these wonderful ladies, feel free to jump in here. But how's some ways that we can handle that criticism?
I think burnout is real. If you're doing it over and over each day, like you said, the one negative comment can eat at you for days or impact how you are in real life. And so I think it's important to give yourself grace and say, hey, I need to step away from the computer and go do cow things. And I'll feel way better when I come back, and a lot more cool, calm, and collected too when I do.
Yeah, set times that you'll be on your phone, you know, be like, I'll only be on my phone during working hours, or, you know, and I'll put it away and I won't look at it from 8 until bedtime or something like that. Definitely the setting boundaries, though, and it's so easy because it's always in our hand. It's so easy to look at. But I don't know if any of you guys have seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix. It does talk about how it is meant to be addictive. The things that are on it are meant to be, you know, trigger those kind of things in our brain that make it addictive. So you have to be very consciously aware of that. And also, you know, fighting with people, that can also get something that gets your adrenaline going. So it's like, step away from that. You know, you don't need that. Like you said, don't get muddled down in those kind of comments and whatnot.
And I think 2020 for me highlighted just how low it can get as far as, you know, people's emotions and how they are willing to lash out at people. So from the pandemic to the presidential election, there was just a lot of negativity online to the point that I think a lot of people were just like, I want to check out. I don't even want to be on here anymore. And so kind of moving forward in 2021, I've thought a lot about, yeah, I could focus on all these, you know, initiatives that I'm worried about and all this negativity I see in the news. But I feel like in agriculture and outside, just the general society, what they need is uplifting stories and messages and, you know, stories of faith and perseverance and grit and people doing good things to make the world a better place. And when I look around the agricultural community, I see a lot of that happening each and every day. And so that's where I think we can truly shine, is talking about how we are enriching our communities as well as, you know, running our operations. But there's so many great stories out there to share, whether it's nonprofit organizations or FFA youth, you know, out doing great things. And that's how we really attract, you know, great people to support what we're doing and understand that we're not just about, you know, making money off our cows, which there's a lot easier ways to make money than running cattle. But we have big hearts in this industry, and that's the story I think we should tell in 2021.
Absolutely. So, Amanda, you travel around and give a lot of presentations. This is a little different. I'm loving this. I hope you're enjoying
this. It's fun. I love this. Yeah.
Typically, so when you do a presentation just by yourself, is there any other points that you like to touch on, or what some other things we're missing? What else you got for us?
Sure. Well, I guess one thing I've been telling a lot of my groups this past year, I guess my most popular presentation has been, you know, moving forward during this pandemic when everything feels so uncertain and there's so much loss. And I was invited to speak in last May to a group, and they said, we want you to talk about optimism in the beef industry. And at that time, you know, there was packing plant closures and people were euthanizing animals and people were really worried about the virus. And I thought, I don't see any optimism right now, you know, but hey, it was a job. So I said, sure, I'll find something happy to talk about. And but I started looking on social media and I realized there were FFA and 4-H groups that were sewing masks to donate to healthcare workers. There was cattlemen's groups that were doing beef book reading hours on Facebook Live because parents were homeschooling now and virtual learning and they wanted to help. There was one kid that bought a 3D printer and started making face shields to donate. And all of these different things, stories that I saw, I realized kind of had a common theme of people that were doing good. They were being innovative. They were pivoting, you know, from what they were used to doing to something that kind of fit the current situation they were in. They were connecting and serving and leading with positivity. And so those have kind of been things I've focused on both personally and in business, but also that I've been encouraging other people to focus on as well, because with all the negativity we see out there, it can be easy to succumb to all of that. But if we're focusing on those key things, we can, you know, make lemonade out of lemons.
So hard times, typically when you're under the microscope, when there's conflict and tough times, one of two things is going to happen. You either get out or you get better. So I'm hoping that these times are going to get the industry to improve and get better, be more efficient, tell the story, and prove that we are saving the world. Is that happening? Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of young people, college groups this past year, and I've told them, you know, what's happening this year is going to shape how they respond to everything in their lives, you know, when they're 30 and 40 and beyond. And one thing I'm seeing is that these young people are more innovative than, you know, us older folks that are set in our ways, because they're willing to try new things and adapt. And so I think there's going to be a new generation of beef producers and agriculturalists that see challenges and a problem, and they find solutions. One example, a gal I know up here in North Dakota, she had a labeled beef business, and at the time when Walmart was all out, she was parking in their parking lot, and she had a line all the way out the parking lot for people wanting to buy her beef. So she was being innovative and pivoting and being creative in earning a premium price for her product while making, you know, that personal connection with consumers. And it's those people that you say, hey, I want to see more of that, and I think we will in the future.
Timing was good to be ready for that before
yeah,
them.
She was all set up. I was thinking, I missed the boat there.
Well, after all that happened, now everybody's trying to do it, and I'm worried it's going to get saturated. But it's still a great way to market, and it's inspiring new tactics.
Yeah, you know, I'll say something to that. I hear that a lot. Like people don't want to start boutiques because like they feel like the boutique industry's super saturated. They don't want to start a podcast because someone feels that like the podcast industry is too saturated. Here's the thing is like I listen to podcasts, and if I listen to one and someone recommends another one, I'll go listen to that one, and I'll go listen to another one, and I'll go listen. And with boutiques, you know, I might shop there, but if they don't have what I want, I'll go shop at another one. There's room for everyone in it. You know, it doesn't, don't feel like you can't get in it because you feel like it's saturated. Give yourself a fighting chance and give consumers choice. That's capitalism right there. And that's what America was made on. And so I don't mean to fight you on that point. I just have heard that a lot. And I'm just like, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know what the key ingredient for the successful ones are is they're great storytellers. So they make people fall in love with their ranch and their cattle and their family. And then people say, I'm buying into you and your story. I want to buy your beef too. So I've had people tell me, you know, like, yeah, selling beef is hard. And I say, well, pick your hard because, you know, the cattle business is hard. And if people are finding success through a non-traditional route, it's incredible. And it just gives us more options for how we can market and take control of the dollars we're bringing in for the cattle we're raising.
You know, I'll have to tell you, you actually turned me on to the Ranch Beef Co.
Oh, yeah.
I have beef at our house. I don't need to buy beef, but I love following them. They are, well, now it's just the one, but you're right. They tell great stories. You know, they share their life on the ranch and their kids and the way they're raising them. And, you know, it's just two friends from high school. Is that what it is?
Or pharmacy school, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I have a freezer full of beef and I want to buy their beef. Yeah. They're really good at it.
They are really good at it. And they're two awesome ladies to follow. So that's a great example of them. Yeah. Being great storytellers.
Just got to find a way to do it better and succeed. There's always a way.
Absolutely.
You just got to find it and work for it.
Yes.
A lot of times opportunity comes disguised as work. People
That's
forget.
What they tell me.
Funny how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people don't want to do that four-letter word called work, but that's a big part of it. And that's exactly why you guys are here. So, Jordan, let's jump back to some Queenan stuff here.
Okay.
You're number two. The only Miss Rodeo America to get two terms.
Two terms, absolutely. Yes, the decision came around May of 2020, right before Memorial Day. They asked me that if they were to decide to change or to cancel the pageant, if I would extend my year till the end of 2021. And I said yes. And 2020 was still a great year. I still loved it, and it was still my year. And once the 4th of July rolled around and I started to get to go to events and rodeos again, it really kind of ironed out. And I got to go to, you know, the NFR in Texas. And, you know, that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I got to be there for all 10 rounds. And hopefully, you know, we'll be back at the Thomas & Mack next year. But whatever happens, happens. And 2020 taught me to go with the flow and try and keep a positive attitude as much as possible.
What's your insight on that? I'm hearing things that possibly they're not going to allow crowds. Do you got any inside information?
In Las Vegas?
In Vegas, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I don't, but I will say that South Point still did the buckle presentations there at Texas Live. They were still the main sponsor. And I can tell you that the South Point is very, very eager to get back to 100%. And I know they're one of the major casinos that we deal with out there. So it's good to see that they want to get back to normal, and they're going to do, you know, everything that they can in their power. But at the end of the day, you know, it's relying on the government, you know, the governor, and I know the mayor of Las Vegas is very eager to get things up and going again. So you can only pray and hope for the best. Plan for the worst.
Fingers crossed.
Speaking of governors, I think it would be a mistake if we didn't talk about being two South Dakota girls about our amazing governor, Kristi Noem.
Is she not the best?
Yeah.
Yes, that is right.
What has it been like working with her at rodeos and kind of having to share a little bit of the attention? Because she holds that flag really well, too.
She does. You know, it was the funniest thing at Deadwood, which was the first rodeo she did this summer. And it was the last round. And Justin Rumford, he's the barrel man there. He's the clown, you know, and his daughters, he has triplets, but he has his two daughters. They were on the fence, and Kristi Noem, you know, she takes the flag in and they start the introduction. And I think it was Lola. She looks at me and she goes, why aren't you carrying the flag? You're Miss Rodeo America. And I was like, how do you tell a 5-year-old that like you're not as cool as the governor of South Dakota? I was like, yeah, she's kind of like way up here. She's kind of a big deal. I was like, I'm going to let her take this one. But, you know, it's an incredible honor for her to come to our rodeos and to, like you said, that patriotism that rodeo has, to see that. And they just love her. I mean, literally anywhere I go, I say I'm from South Dakota and they go, we just love your governor. I go, I know. She's great. I can't. There's nothing else I can say about it.
Just beaming with pride.
Yes.
In North Dakota, we're the same way. I mean, she was on one of the episodes of Wild Rides on the Cowboy Channel. Mm-hmm. And we're so proud of her as well.
Yeah. People ask me, you know, is she as like down to earth as she seems? And I'm like, yes, literally at Deadwood, I saw her and I was like, Governor Kristine Noem, I just wanted to say hi. And she goes, Jordan, I am so proud of you. And I was like, she knew my name. I was like, oh my gosh. And then at Las Vegas, you know, Texas. Oh my goodness. Forgive me. Texas. She said hi to me again and just was like, you're doing a great job. And I'm like, not everyone gets that from their governor. And I'm really, really like honored that our governor has such a big heart like that and cares for her people that much. And I'm a small, small person and yeah, I'm very honored.
She's changing the world. Is she going to be president?
She's going to run for one more term. Come on, people. Let us have her one more term.
Yeah, I'm like, well, we could share, but maybe we could keep her in South Dakota a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But I would say I think she highlights the importance of when there are elected officials that understand agriculture and they get it. It's important for constituents to extend a thank you of appreciation. Let them know, hey, thanks for fighting for us. Thanks for sticking your neck out. Because, you know, every time she makes an appearance at a rodeo, she's also getting a lot of hate mail, too, for it. And so it's incredible to see the support of some of these governors that have really stood up for rural America this past year. And I think we all need to kind of rally around those folks and get involved too as well. It just goes to show you can come from a farm and ranch background and you can go serve and lead legislatively and get involved in politics and, you know, be engaged, whether you're governor or whether you're the mom in the back as they're discussing a bill that might impact your kids, you know, at your state legislature.
Well said. And I think that's going to be a great segue. Is there anything else we could talk for hours. I think this could go on.
I think
on
we could
on.
Do this all day.
Unfortunately,
draw a topic out of a hat. You know?
Yeah, we do have some time constraints, unfortunately. Is that a good segue to bring our FFA president on?
I think absolutely.
Yeah, perfect.
Let's do it. Brianna, come join us. This is Brianna Hossman.
Is she going to take mic?
Nope, she can grab that mic right here. Grab that mic there, Brianna, and join us. Have a seat. Brianna's from Hebron, North Dakota, currently going to school at NDSU. Go Bison.
Oh, come on.
We're in North Dakota. Go Bison. And yep. The North Dakota FFA president, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So how's the year going for the FFA organization?
We've had a lot of COVID restraints, unfortunately, so we haven't really been able to do too much this year. But things are kind of picking up now as restraints are kind of lifting and the mask mandate got taken down. So now we're actually able to go travel a little bit. And I'm really excited that I'm going to get to visit my home chapter this week for our banquet on, well, it's going to be on the 25th, so not this week. But I'm excited to get to do, like, we all get to go out and do banquets and basically go on, like, a little public speaking tour. So it's going to be really cool to actually get to engage with members and not over an online format and in person, because an awesome organization like the FFA that is so personal is very hard to move online. And so we've struggled a lot with that this year. But so far, I think it's been really good and the kids have received it very well. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. So, Amanda, I'm sure both of you guys do some speaking and work with FFA mm-hmm. groups. That dynamic of the future of our industry, how can we give them more advice and help further this industry?
The reality is we should probably be asking her, because she probably knows all the cool new social media platforms that I'm too old
TikTok.
To. Yes, like she needs to be giving us tips, because speaking of TikTok, I see advocacy TikToks all the time and I'm thinking, oh, these young kids got it going on, because they're going viral because they're funny or, you know, engaging, and you think, oh, that's cheesy or silly or dumb, but I could write a really long blog nobody reads, but a TikTok is going to circle around the world just because it's, you know, engaging and lighthearted.
Is that a thing? Are you dealing with this in college? I mean, as an FFA group, do you utilize these?
We haven't been doing TikTok, actually, as a team. We decided not to because of all the stuff that was going on. We didn't know whether it was going to get blocked, like, by President Trump or anything like that. So we decided not to go on the platform for this year. I definitely think it could be a possibility in coming years, but I know that advocacy is a huge thing on TikTok. I personally use TikTok for myself, and I see it all the time and what comes up on my page. And it's like, there's some really, really good information. And like you said, like, not a whole lot of kids hop online to read a super long blog post, but if they see a 60-second video talking about how beef is actually good for the environment and employing proper management practices is actually a really good thing, that actually shares a lot of really awesome information to that younger generation, like you were saying. So I'm all for it in the future. Our team just didn't decide to do it this year. So,
wow.
So question for you, what can we do to help you, or how can you teach us? How can we keep this going?
Yeah, I really like to just plug education, because these are the kids that are going to be going out into the workforce. And I always kind of like to talk about my background, because I actually did not grow up on a farm or come from an agriculture background. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, and moved up here with the oil field. But I still got into agriculture because I had a really, really great ag teacher. And so it comes down to the ag teachers, the public speakers who go to schools that really give that good information to kids at the ground level. Like, if you're with someone every day that you trust and that you talk to all the time, like I did with my ag teacher, you really get a good sense of what agriculture is all about, and you can actually develop a passion from there. I can tell you personally, I would not be on the path that I am today without my ag teacher, and that's why I'm following in his footsteps and becoming one myself. So I just think it's so important and essential to get that education started at the ground level in high school. So,
amen.
I work with a lot of 4-H and FFA groups, mm-hmm. and do workshops. And one of the things I tell young people is to use social media as your living, breathing resume. Because the first thing that an employer does is go look at all your social media platforms and say, oh, wow, I mean, they could deduce one or two things about
Absolutely.
You, you know, if you're a goofball or if you're, you know, really intelligent or knowledgeable about certain things. And so I always tell kids, decide what you're going to be an expert in, whether it's, you know, cows or FFA or whatever it might be, and share articles and TikToks or videos, photos that exemplify this knowledge and this passion. And then in doing so, you're not only helping to be an advocate, but you're also building your brand, which will help you get internships and job opportunities and kind of show people, this is what I'm about and this is what I can offer the agricultural industry.
Absolutely. You have to be very conscious of like what you're posting and what you're putting out online, especially if it can be something perceived as negative. I know when we ran for state office, they checked all of our social media accounts before we even ran, and that was how some final decisions were made. So that's a very, very important point.
Fantastic. Jordan or Brianna, real quick, run down kind of some of your duties as president here.
Yeah, so I just have to meet up with the team. I go around, and I'm going to be speaking to multiple chapters this year. I think I'm signed up for Velva, Minot, Granville, and several others so far that have requested me to come speak to their schools at their banquets. So I'll be doing a lot of that this spring, and then our state convention, where we'll have to run all the events and just help out with different career development events like contests, livestock judging, crops judging, all that. And we'll have to give our retiring addresses because we'll be done with our terms in June, the first week of June at state convention. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for all you do. We appreciate it and wish you the best. And hang in there. Keep
fighting.
Thank
you.
I know we got a bunch of queens over here we got to get on the stage, too. I want to keep you around for that.
Oh.
Amanda, we need to do some other interviews with you if you don't mind hanging out over here.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any questions, we'll be around here for questioning. Is there anything else you want to add before we shut down our segment?
I just want to thank you all for being here today. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope the audience has enjoyed it as well. And I think anytime you can connect with other advocates and people that are passionate about agriculture, it recharges your batteries so you can go home and keep up the good fight. And so I hope when people listen to this segment later that they too feel uplifted. And yeah, there might be some challenges coming down the pike, and there might be some legislation or things that our elected officials are doing that we do not think will head animal agriculture and rural America in the right direction. But we all have to band together and stand firm in our truths and what we do and what we have to offer society. And the great thing is we have a fantastic story to tell. We just have to keep telling it.
and you tell it well. Thank you so much for all you do, Amanda Radke. You can follow her on all the social media. Speaking of that, please follow Amanda and subscribe to Beef Magazine, correct?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. She'll be sticking around here. Amanda Radke, thank you so much. Brianna, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Any questions for them? Come over here. Big round of applause. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, Rodeo Rock Radio. We appreciate your support and the support of our sponsors. Check out Breaking8.com for our new music. Here is a song called Wild Rides to Take You Out. We'll see you next time. Live life, live it right. If you want to ride with me, you better hold on tight. Get the truck, light it up, gonna hit the ground running. I wish me luck, this rabbit foot hanging up ain't gonna cut it. Lots of trim, just don't slip, put your foot down and step on it. Driving by the moon, picking on a fender, got it tuned up, getting something to remember. We're living life, living right, if you want. Chest out, cause there's no doubt it's on to the big show. Lots of trim, just don't slip. Put your foot down and step on it. Driving by the moon, picking on a fender. Got it tuned up, giving something to remember. We're living life, living right. If you wanna ride with me, you better hold on tight. The forecast is calling for wild rides. The forecast is calling for the wild ride. On a fender, got it tuned up, giving something to remember. We're living life, living right. If you wanna ride with me, better hold on tight. Driving by the moon, picking on.